Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Meaning, you cannot please God without having faith.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's continue with Pastor Rogers in this sermon series. This is Why Your Faith Needs the Cross, Part 3. Let's go into the message today.
He says, experience brings hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And when we were yet without strength in due time, what did Christ do? He died for the ungodly. How many ungodly people were in here before you got godly? That's every one of them. Everybody ought to be lifting their hand. So then in the context of this scripture, and you can read on, there's other other portions there that would be a blessing to you, but I want to put this in context, because what he is speaking of here in Romans 5 is everything that Christ did on the cross. So now go back for just a minute. He says, we have access by faith. We are justified by faith. Everything that we have comes by faith. And all of the trials and all the experiences and all the things of patience and all that stuff is working for us. And before we ever thought about putting our faith here, God's plan had already put in motion for the ungodly world that he came to save. I'm trying to tell you the reason why your faith needs the cross is because there is no other place whereby all of that and more was purchased and paid for and finished than at the cross of Jesus Christ. You cannot come to church enough, read your Bible enough, pray enough to be able to get holy enough. You're made holy by the grace, by faith through grace. Are you with me? That means that you must remove yourself as the eternal judge of the universe, saying that God can't forgive me, or I've been too bad, or I can't have this, or he loves them more than he does me. All that is wrong. Everybody in this building has access here, both rich, poor, black, white, free, bond, whoever you are. That's the reason why, my friends, that this message works everywhere around the globe. In America, we bought into send $1,000 and I'll send you some holy oil from the olive tree where Jesus prayed. Keep me on the air, yada, 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 all that kind of nonsense. I'm not saying that we shouldn't support Christian programming, all that, because as you've seen in recent days, there is already a formulation of people who are ready to come against people of faith that are standing for the biblical issues of pro-life, etc. So you better get ready for the battle, because your faith is not going to be used in the days that are ahead so that you can get some food on the table. All that's the pediatrics. You better get ready to have some steadfast faith where you stand by faith resisting the enemy until he flees. Are you with me? There is no other place. Pastor, I've heard it. You're going to hear it until Jesus comes. Because there's no other answer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So just in a, I could go on there, but just in a quick review, put me back on my screens here for PowerPoint. Here we go. Oh, no, go back. There it is. Here we go. Look at there. We start at the beginning again. Why do some prefer a Christless cross? Because it reveals the heart of man. Let me say this to you. I'm not going to reteach this, but I'm just going to tell you. When you come face to face with the cross, it will deal and expose everything that is not like Christ in your life. That's the reason why people want to be able to come to church and feel the warm fuzzies and have themselves a Jesus with no blood. a Jesus with no sacrifice, a Jesus with no commitment, a Jesus with no submission, a Jesus without a cross. I know that seems to some of us like it is so bizarre, but you don't realize people are coming to church today, filling up buildings, who are claiming salvation, but their life and lifestyle does not conform to that of Christ. Therefore, they've got just enough Jesus, they feel, added on. What here is the typical religious deal that makes everybody feel comfortable going to church. Well, I've got Jesus. Yes, I do. But, you know, I got my job, and I got my education, and I've got whatever else. Somebody's bells are going off. Maybe Jesus is calling you. I don't know. If we're going to do it, let's just put Buddha in there, and let's put Islam, and let's put my hobbies. I mean, I got all that, but wait a minute, hold it. Jesus is first in my life. Jesus is first. Okay. When you make a list like this, it makes everything on the same level, and all of this becomes God. Why? Because whenever your job requires, I've worked shift work, so I understand all that. I understand all that kind of stuff. But when that becomes a pattern, and Jesus is pushed from here down to 3 or 4 or whatever, there's all this one list right here makes everything have the same voice. And the problem is your faith doesn't work then. Because why? Because all these other things, whatever it may be, are vying for your attention and your time and your money and your energy and all that kind of stuff. And if you list them down and say, well, God's first, family second, right? Jesus is, y'all kind of stove up here tonight. Family second, my job is third, all that kind of, when you list it out like that, anything and everything will try to usurp Jesus. And because we are reactionary to things in our world, whatever is burning on the stove, that's what we attend. Are y'all with me? But when I put Jesus Christ at the center, which the Bible says this, he says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So now, when you say, I put Jesus first, he's not first. He's the central figure of my life, period. Are y'all with me? So if that means that Jesus is the central figure, let me get your perspective. You got your list over here. And now, the illness has now taken over. Taking the front seat. Now I'm scrambling for all that. Wait a minute. Didn't the cross take care? Okay, I'm just inserting that minute. Watch this. Out of the heart, out of the central focus of your heart, flow the issues of life. So let me say it like this, real quick. Y'all still with me? If any of this list, in a moment of whatever, anxiety, stress, pressure, whatever, wants to take over, let's say illness, take over the central focus of your life. Suddenly, everything has shifted, and Jesus has been pushed into second place. And now my illness, well, Pastor, I don't do that. I still trust the Lord. Wait a minute. Anything that moves Jesus out of this place, now my faith has been displaced. So I replace it with, doctor, whatever it may be. So what does that mean? If out of the heart flow the issues of life, now I am making decisions based out of this for my finances, for my job, for my whatever, for the world that I live in, for whatever it may be. Are y'all still with me? You tracking with me? That's the position that has to be reserved exclusively for Jesus Christ, because if you don't filter everything by him being the central part of your faith, what does, okay, two youth pastors get together. They say, let's make up something cool. So several years ago they did. And they came up with the acrostic, and it went worldwide, and we call it viral today, WWJD. So everybody's wearing WWJD, what would Jesus do? T-shirts and bracelets and, you know, neckties and everything else under the sun. Why? Because in that inspiration of that phrase, they were recentering our faith on Jesus, because this is the place that the enemy wants you to take your faith away from that, and suddenly we start basing every decision that we make out of a false place of faith. I hope I'm saying this right for you tonight. So the fight is not the fight over sin, or the fight over my money, or the fight over my illness. Paul wrapped it up and said, the fight is over your faith. Why? Because everything the enemy is trying to do is move Jesus away from the central focus. And as long as Jesus is the central focus, now suddenly it's not that I can now pass laws to say that abortion is okay, because since Jesus is the central focus of my life and I filter everything through the Word of God, and my faith is focused there, which is placing my faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, through which everything comes. Now, every decision I make, every day of my life, suddenly becomes filtered through what? WWJD. Are y'all with me? Suddenly, I'm not making decisions upon how I feel today about the situation. Because 2 days ago, when my uncle was laying there and the nurses came in early in the morning and lifted up his arm and it flopped back down to the ground, the situation was dire. He couldn't communicate. He was unconscious. But we prayed the prayer of and put our faith in Jesus, and me and my aunt stood there and we anointed him with oil, and we said, in the name of Jesus, we command the body to come back in order. Well, pastor, it was the doctors this, they did this, they did that. If you really believe, my dear friends, that that could happen solely by the doctor, hey, thank God they went in and knew how to do it. In fact, they were consulting online with the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, my aunt said, while the doctor was online with them talking about how they're going to handle it. Less than 30 minutes, the doctor's job was over. It was over. The nurses could only come in and administer some medication or therapy, whatever it may be. From there, my dear friends, either Jesus does it or it can't be done. But I'm fixing to step out of the way. I'm fixing to show you something. But because my faith is in the finished work of the cross, my healing has already been purchased, promised, and it shall come to pass, whether in time or in eternity, as long as I stand in faith.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.